Just sung, forgiveness is something we ask of God. But it is also something God asks of us. And sometimes the words come more easily than the reality. Before we turn to Jesus' teachings, I want to share a story of someone who discovered just how costly and how freeing forgiveness can be. The Forgiveness Project collects stories from people who have lived through deep hurt and found ways to rebuild their lives. One of those stories is about a woman called Natalia Aggiano. Natalia grew up in a home marked by fear. Her father was violent and controlling. Much of that violence fell on Natalia and her mother. Eventually, Natalia persuaded her mother to leave, and for a time they were safe. But when her mother returned briefly to collect some belongings, Natalia's father killed her. In the shock and devastation that followed, Natalia made a remarkable decision. She went to see her father. She told him she still loved him, and that if he told the truth, she would stand by him. Not because she excused what he had done, but because her mother taught her to love the person, not the behaviour. He did tell the truth and was sentenced to a secure psychiatric hospital. And Natalia kept her promise. She visited him regularly. And over time, they formed the kind of father-daughter relationship she had never known before as a child. Her younger brother also found the strength to forgive him before he died. Natalia says that forgiveness set her free and allowed something broken to be healed. Just as Natalia chose to stand by her father despite the terrible harm he had caused, we heard in our first reading how Joseph responded to his brothers after they had betrayed him. "Do not be afraid. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." Joseph forgives not because the hurt was small, it was after all quite big, but because he refuses to let the past define the future. His forgiveness restores the family and frees everyone involved. Genesis shows us that forgiveness is not denial. It's choosing a different ending to the story. Telling someone that you forgive them for something they have done, I find is a bit like telling someone you're sorry. It's really easy to say, but saying it doesn't make it true. Just saying the words isn't enough. In today's gospel from Matthew, Peter asks Jesus about forgiving someone. Peter has a knack of asking the questions everyone wants to know the answer to, but he's too scared to ask. So here, he was asking about forgiving someone who'd obviously kept sinning against him. And he asked, should he forgive them 7 times? Why 7? Well, there was a rabbinic teaching which was based on Amos that said that someone should be forgiven 3 times. So Peter has doubled that and added 1 for good luck. It could also be argued that in Jewish culture, 7 meant complete. So maybe he was thinking that if you forgive them 7 times, that's complete forgiveness. Or, knowing Peter, he could have just plucked the number out of thin air. Anyway, he asked Jesus if he should forgive them 7 times. Jesus said no. It should be 77 times. Some translations have it as 70 times 7, some have 77, but the meaning's basically the same. 77 means there's no limit, really. It's a large number. But forgiving someone that much isn't easy, though, is it? In fact, forgiving someone once isn't always easy. Something small isn't too hard. Someone accidentally breaking your mug at work or an ornament at home. Providing it hasn't got too much sentimental value, of course, would be fairly easy to forgive, as long as they said sorry. But if it was something they did deliberately, maybe not so easy. Especially if it has caused you physical or emotional pain. The breakup of a relationship, for example. It's natural to blame the other person, to not forgive them for the pain that you have been through or still going through. It's even harder if it's actual physical pain that they've caused. But not forgiving them doesn't make anything better. The pain remains. May not remain physically, but it will remain emotionally. It's always going to be there. Especially if you keep seeing the person or keep being reminded of the situation. But the thing is, it only affects you. The other person may be totally unaware of how you feel. Unless you tell them, they have no idea what impact it has had on you. But it does have an effect on you. It gnaws away at you, possibly causing you to hate the other person eventually. The greater the pain they caused, the more it affects you. The harder it is to forgive. And it'll probably have a toxic effect on your relationship with that person. If you in fact still have a relationship of any kind with that person. Paul reminds us in Romans that we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. In other words, judgment belongs to God, not us. When we hold on to unforgiveness, we are effectively taking God's place, deciding who is worthy and who is not. But Paul urges us not to pass judgment on one another, because God alone sees the whole truth of a person's life. Letting go of judgment is one of the ways forgiveness becomes possible. It frees us from carrying a role we were never meant to bear. However, being able to completely forgive someone, which does take a lot of effort, does actually help you. It enables you to move on. It helps remove some of the pain and hurt and emotional baggage that we all carry around. Doesn't mean forgetting, but it does mean moving on, moving past the pain and the hurt. Setting that to one side. And in doing so, the relationship with the other person could possibly be healed. And from personal experience, I know this to be true. As some of you know, I'm divorced. After my divorce, I lost custody of my daughter. And I blamed my ex-wife for the pain and the hurt that I was feeling. It gnawed away at me. And I believe I was on the verge of becoming depressed. But with the help of my friends here in the church, and with the strength I found in Christ, I managed to forgive her. It wasn't an instant or overnight thing. It took a lot of time and a lot of effort, a lot of willpower, and a lot of prayer. But after doing so, it felt like a weight had been lifted. My relationship with her improved. And I believe that benefited our daughter, because the relationship was restored between us as friends. Forgiveness isn't something we learn once. It's something life keeps teaching us in all sorts of places. Sometimes those lessons come through scripture, sometimes through painful experience, or through something as simple as a TV show or film. You may find this hard to believe, but the other night I was watching a Christmas movie. The Christmas TV channel has started already. It was nothing profound, just a gentle, sentimental story, one of those straight-to-TV movies that they make. But one line in it struck me with real truth. Little girl in it was talking to an old man who hadn't spoken to his son for many years because of something the son had done. We weren't told what, it was somewhere in the backstory that we didn't have. And she said to the old man that he should speak to his son. She said, "Unforgiveness is bad for everybody. When you don't forgive someone, it's like holding them prisoner. But when there's unforgiveness, nobody is free. You have to guard your prisoner all the time. So the only way to be free yourself is to free them. To lose the pain, you have to lose the unforgiveness. One of the keys to being able to forgive is understanding why they did it. Putting yourself in their shoes. Seeing if there was some underlying reason for their behaviour. Maybe something in their past has affected them. Maybe something outside of their control. Forgiving isn't easy, and to do it fully, we of course need God's help. We need the strength of Jesus and the Holy Spirit inside us to help us achieve it. In the passage we heard, Jesus goes on to tell a parable to Peter and the disciples about the man who had asked for forgiveness from his master, but then refused to give it to his own debtor. The debt he was forgiven for was, we are told, 10,000 talents. 10,000 bags of gold, basically. But the debt he was owed was just 100 denarii, 100 coins. The difference between the two debts is vast. Orders of magnitude different. And because he refused to forgive his debtor, his own master then threw him in jail. A debtor's jail, presumably, until he had repaid the debt. If we are not prepared to forgive others, can we really expect to be forgiven by those we hurt? Why should we be forgiven if we don't forgive others? The message of forgiveness actually runs throughout the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they that will be shown mercy." And in James we read, "Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful." Mercy triumphs over judgment. As Christians, the most important forgiveness that we require, that we need or want, is that from God. Asking for God's forgiveness for our wrongdoings is a fundamental tenet of being a Christian. We ask it every time we say the prayer of confession in our Sunday services, or more importantly, when we say the Lord's Prayer. But then, so is forgiving others. We can't have one without the other. Imagine a triangle with God at the top. We ask God to forgive us our sins, and we are. The person who wronged us asks God to be forgiven their sins, and of course God forgives them. If we refuse to forgive them though, Doesn't that put us above God? But who are we not to forgive someone if God has already forgiven them? If God can forgive them anyway, and everyone for anything, then who are we to withhold forgiveness for whatever they did to us? In chapter 6 of Matthew, after giving the disciples the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." When we come to our prayers of intercession in a while, I will ask you all to think about someone who has hurt you in the past, but who you haven't forgiven yet. And I want you to ask Jesus for the strength to help you forgive that person. I'll finish now with a quote from Desmond Tutu. "Forgiveness is truly the grace by which we enable another person to get up, and get up with dignity, to begin anew. To not forgive leads to bitterness and hatred. Like self-hatred and self-contempt, hatred of others gnaws away at our vitals. Whether hatred is projected out or stuffed in, it is always corrosive to the human spirit." Amen.